All right, let's get started. Welcome to SL Linux Fun with MySQL and Friends. As you can see, I'm missing a co-speaker. Ivan unfortunately couldn't make it today. He's in South America and he couldn't get approval to come here. But he did help me prepare these slides, so we left his name on there. So quickly, who we are. My name is Matthias Krauwels. I live here in Belgium. I live in Ghent. I have a bachelor in computer science, been a Linux user and admin for over 20 years. Then I've been a PHP developer in the start of my career for about 10 years. And since 8-ish years, I'm a MySQL DBA. Currently, I'm a lead database consultant at Pythian. Ivan lives in Argentina, in South America, is a systems engineer. Unfortunately, he also has left Pythian, is now a senior consultant at Percona. This is something about Pythian, yeah. One disclaimer, I'm not going to claim here that I'm the SL Linux guru. I'm just a DBA having to deal with SL Linux on systems that are managed by other people. And the presentation goes about how we go about that and what we did and what we learned about dealing with those kind of situations. So let's get started with some introduction to what SL Linux is. So this is the definition you can find on Wikipedia. It's something because someone thought that the normal Linux security system wasn't good enough. So on Linux you have the privileges for user groups and others. But it wasn't granular enough. It's originally developed by the NSA in America and Red Hat. And it's distributed to your kernel as a set of kernel modules for enhanced security or for bothering DBAs. There are three modes to SA Linux, and it's very similar to what Nick earlier said in his presentation about proxy SQL. The default mode is set to enforcing in Red Hat Enterprise Linux and CentOS. You can set it to permissive or disabled. Permissive does what it says. It will track all the settings for SA Linux, but it will allow them, but it will log them in a log file. And disabled will just completely disable SA Linux. And a wise man once said, every time you disable SL Linux, a kitten dies. Think of the kittens. The truth is, mostly the compliance or security teams will bite you if you disable it. It's often a part of their audit trails. They want the logging at least, or they want to block everything they don't allow, which is also the default policy. So there's a deny policy for anything you don't specifically allow. A useful tool on a Red Hat Enterprise Linux-based system or CentOS-based system is policy core utils in Python. It provides a lot of tools to manage and define your SL Linux policies. If you want to go a little bit deeper and really start writing policies, the devel package gives you a lot more tools also. And how you can check it, so there's a tool, SA status, and you can run that, and it will show you the current modes. Like in this case, it was enforcing, it's enabled, and these are the config directories. You can get enforce, you can do get enforce to see what the status is of the enforcement. And remember the kittens here, because I made this this screenshot, I killed the kitten. So SA Linux is defined by users, policy, context. There's not a one-on-one mapping between Linux users and SA Linux users. So the SA Linux users by default here in this system, you can get by sa-user-l, and then you get all the SA Linux users. You have guest, root, staff, a regular user. And you can then assign a login. So in this case, I assigned user John to my as a Linux user. And then you can see that this John user is there. And the default is that they are unconfined. So it's very straightforward, very easy to track or something. Yeah. And also, SA Linux adds a dash capital Z option to commands like ls or ps. So you can see what SA Linux users and object roles and types it uses. And also for a process, you can see MySQL D is running as the type MySQL D underscore T. And MySQL D save is running as basically save underscore t. And so the contexts are defined as user role type and then a level. The most use that I have seen from it is we're using user and type, and role is usually like a system object or system R or something like that. And level is if you want to go even more granular, you can start doing like this user has access level to these SLinux levels, and you can go up to more and more levels. But that takes us a bit too far if we... So, MySQL and SELinux. Out-of-the-box experience is so that everything works. So if you just install, yum install MySQL server, which gives you MariaDB server, or if you do MySQL community server, everything will work. So there's a policy predefined. You can do SA manage module L, and then you can grep for MySQL. So you see that the MySQL object is there by default. And it's very granular. So you have a lot of different types that are defined for different locations. So in the etsy MySQL, it's MySQL the etsy. Then you have the log directory. The data directory has its own. The MySQL D process has its own context and everything. So it's very granularly defined, and you can then start playing with it. So in this case, in this example, we wanted to change the data directory. So the default is varlib MySQL, and somehow we were requested to put it on data MySQL. And so we made the directory, we gave it the permissions, and you can see here by default it's unconfined. And we started MariaDB service and it didn't start. So what we used to do was turn SELinux off and then it worked. But remember the kittens? So there's an audit log. And if you install that Python package that I referred to, you can do audit to allow, and W-W and -A will give you the list of things it denied for you. So in this case, it says I denied write to the location. I tried writing with MySQL D context, and you are writing to defaulty, so it's not allowed. And it's true, because this is by default type, and so you cannot write to that with SELinux enforced. So we were then finding the right data directory context. So on varlib MySQL, this is the default context. So we were trying to just set the context to the data directory context. And then we did an ls again, and hey, wait, we changed this, but it didn't change anything. So you still have to apply that if you change that, something we learned. If you do then restore con and dash v gives you useful output, so it shows you what it's actually changing, then it will start changing the types. And now you can see that it has the right type. And if you now start the server or get the status, you can see that it's active running with the right data directory as you were expecting to. So this is one way of dealing with it. Another thing is custom ports. So we had a running MySQL instance, and we just wanted to change this from 3206 to 3207. So what we did, added port equals 3207 to the MySQL D section of the config, restarted, and boom, it didn't start. Why didn't it start? So you check journal CTL, it says it doesn't start, it has a failure, but it doesn't say why. The error log says permission denied. Do you have another process running on that port? No, we don't. So obviously SELinux was bothering us there. So again, if you do the audit log, you can see that it is trying to use an unreserved port, and it gives you a possible solution. So it says you allow NIS enabled, and NIS enabled will allow a process to bind to any port. And so if you set that SELinux boolean, it starts and it binds to the port. It works. But the compliance team may or may not like that level of freedom to give it to you. So another way you can go about it is SELinux manages the port. So if you grab the MySQL port from port-l in SA manage, you see that it has a number of ports predefined. 3206 is part of it. And you can just add 3207 to that list by doing SA manage port-a for add to the type MySQL D port T. And then you give it TCP 3207. and then it adds it to that list, and then you can just restart the database server, and now it starts with port 3307. So that is just examples of things we run into while dealing with it, and how we try to work around it without getting the compliance teams on our necks or getting us